Is that what happened to my face by nature? I have like natural Botox on this side and not on this side.
I like your one sassy eyebrow, but some people do it like that to like make them stop doing that. But I don't think you should. No. I like your sassy eyebrow.
I just it's always look like I'm up to something. I get it just stays there. Oh well. In a past life, I always had a hunch.
And welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 126. Woo!
We made it.
We made it. We really did.
Back again. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet. Obviously.
And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Yes, we did. Yes, 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 we did.
Yes, we did. Today is a double recording day because Ms. Juliet is taking the trip, the vacation of a lifetime to Italy. Are you excited? You leave in like 2 days? You have 2 days left at home after this?
I leave on Wednesday.
When do you leave?
It's Monday and I leave on Wednesday and I'm very overwhelmed. Like I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited, but like my period's going to start tomorrow and this trip will either change my life or it won't.
It will either way.
And I'm just like
a lot.
Very emotional. I have one more. Well, I'll talk more about that last week, but I have.
When this episode comes out, you might, you know?
I don't know.
Things might have happened. We'll You'll see. Be towards the end of your Italy trip when this episode drops. It's going to be, it'll be interesting for the listeners to be like, she's already been in Italy. Some things have been happening. And now we're listening to this episode that it's going to be like a time warp. It's going to be interesting.
I know. I'm nervous. I feel like I've said too much and maybe I'm going to just, I don't know. I think it'll happen. We'll see. We'll find out. Anyways, how are you?
I'm good. Today, well, we're going to do our like what's new with us last week. We're recording our episode backwards today. You want to know what's new
with us? Listen to last week.
Listen to last week. But so I'm excited. So I shared a lot last week, a lot of big stuff, but I'm in a new city. You guys know, you listened to last week's episode. I'm in a new city in South Korea, in Busan, which is the second largest city here after Seoul, which I was just in for a week. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done anything yet. I got in on the train yesterday and, it's like on the southern coast of South Korea. It's freezing cold. I'm so sick of everywhere I go not being hot and warm.
Oh no.
I had my like little bit of a hot weather in Australia while I was in Brisbane, but then when we got to Sydney, it was freezing cold too. So I'm just like, I packed for warmer weather. Like I've been wearing the same fucking outfit for a month now, for 6 weeks almost. And I'm so sick of it because it's just been cold and it's been laundry day. So I have like, if I were to stand up, you'd be like, yikes, what's going on there? Because there's no dryers anywhere. So it's going to take all my warm weather clothes 3 days to dry. So I'm just stuck in the house, but it's all good. I'm happy to be here. Just getting a few complaints out about the weather.
I saw this great thing that was like, because it's a very Jewish thing to complain with one another. It's like a way that we bond. And so I saw this great thing that said like, complaining together isn't bonding. And somebody retweeted it and was like, I find this anti-Semitic. I was like, I agree.
How dare you?
How dare you?
But okay, so we're not doing a catch up. I'm like, the rhythm is all off. We're not doing a catch up, but no. We did ask you to submit some questions to do a fun little Q&A episode because we used to do these like I feel like every couple months when we first started
out. They were fun.
Really fun. Yeah. And you guys asked some great questions. And so we just thought since we were double recording in one day, like a Q&A episode would be fun. So we'll dive right in, but first a few reminders about some of the magic in our world that you can dive into. If you love listening to the podcast every week and you're ready to go deeper and get closer in our world, there's a few ways you can do that. So we have the Alchemy Collective. It's our membership. It's always open for enrollment and it's a really, really special place. We meet 6 times a month live. We've recently shifted our schedule. So now it's officially Magic Mondays. So we meet every Monday. And some of those Mondays, it's, you're like, how is that 6 then? Some of those Mondays we meet extra long. It's like a double feature.
Double feature, double delight.
And it's incredible. We work with the new moon and the full moon. We do intuitive development together. And then, our favorite, which is manifestation and personal development through magic, which is what the Alchemy Collective is ultimately about. So we host master classes. We have one call every month that is solely dedicated to a mastermind, which means that it's a really activating conversation. It's what comes up as a group, what we need to chat about. Juliet and I are there using our intuitive psychic abilities to coach you in real time. It's really, really powerful. And when you come into the Alchemy Collective, not only do you get to hang out with us every day in the Discord and come to all these live calls, but there's like a whole ass witchy Netflix ready for you. It's got like a bajillion hours of stuff. And that's a real number.
Mm-hmm. We count it.
It is like 50 hours or more though. It's a fuck ton. So come hang out with us in the Alchemy Collective. It's our favorite place to be. And we would love to have you. Absolutely. What else do we have going on, Juliet?
Well, there is still time to join us in Bali this summer.
Oh my God.
Spend a week with us in paradise beneath the waterfalls with the monkeys by your side. We can go to Bali together. We can go. We're going. Are you joining us?
We'll be there. We'd love for you
to go. We'll be there. Oh my gosh. It's going to be incredible. We have excellent payment plan options. This is the last month, baby. This is it. This is it. Message us, email us if you have any questions. It's an incredible retreat. We're going to be focused on manifestation and connecting to our highest selves and just all sorts of spiritual magic. And we're going to have the time of our lives. So Bali, we'll see you.
We've gotten a few questions asking, like, can I bring a friend or a partner? And the answer is yes. This retreat is open to everyone. We are, of course, hosting our witchy workshops, but that's just a fraction of everything in the retreat. So if you're bringing a friend or a partner that's not really into the witch stuff, they can sit out the workshops. They can have some alone time and they can do all of the other magic, or they can come and see what your magic world is all about. It'd be so fun to have your mom, your partner, your best friend. Come with us and we get to meet them too. So it is open to everybody. This is, we are truly in the final countdown. It's coming up so fast. I'm so excited. I'm planning out like how I'm, when I'm ending up in Bali as I'm traveling around Asia right now. So it's all very exciting. And yes, our DMs are open. If you have any questions about it,
let us know. And then finally, we're doing something we've never done before. Well, have we done it before? No, it'll be different.
We haven't.
We haven't done this before. Mm-mm. We do a lot. That's why I ask. It's hard to keep up. So we used to do free live readings on Instagram every single Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're going to offer a free live, it's like a mentorship coaching intuitive reading session. Still free, but it's going to be over Zoom. It's going to go much deeper. It'll be more interactive. We'll get to wave hi to each other. And so keep an eye out for that. That's going to be really fun. You'll want to be there and mark your calendar, and you'll have the opportunity, like you did with our Instagram lives, to like talk with us and chat with us and have a conversation and have it go deeper. And it's going to be so fun. And we're really looking forward to this new thing.
There'll be a link in the show notes to make sure that you get access to the Zoom link. It's going to be the last The last Tuesday of the month. So make sure you're signed up so that you get on the list to be emailed that Zoom link and have an opportunity to be intuitively coached by us. We love our Alchemy Collective because we're face to face on the Zoom calls. We get to see you, we get to interact with you, even if you're not speaking up with your voice, you're in the chat, and we just love being able to put a face to the name. And so we just thought, why don't we create a little bit more of an intimate experience with the people that haven't come deeper into our world yet, so they can see what it's about, and we can all have this time every month. It's really special, really powerful, and that's free. And if you haven't yet gotten it yet, or if you're new to our world, we always have available our free Manifest Like Magic guidebook. It's over 50 pages. It's got spells. It's got our manifestation process. It's got an intuitive Claire's quiz, so you can find out what kind of psychic you are, because we believe we're all psychic in this world, and lots more magic. So make sure you get that as well. Lots of ways to connect with us.
Absolutely. And with that all taken care of and squared away, let's dive into these juicy questions.
Q&A. Let's see. What's the question we're gonna start with? Where did my question? Oh, here we go. I wrote down all the questions. Okay, first question. What are your go-to witchy books?
Okay, you'll remember what it's called. I don't. It's by Juliet Diaz. What is it called?
Witchery.
That was the best one. I loved that one.
Mm-hmm.
You're much more of a reader than I am. I can tell you my favorite books that empower me. Maybe they're not like on the nose witchy, but here, why don't you give your list? We'll have you answer the exact question. What are your go-to witchy books?
All of the witchy books I've read are categorized on my Amazon storefront. So you can go to like my Instagram and go to my link, or imsadieolson.com/magic. And there's a witchy read section. I'm on my phone right now, so I'm just going to read you off. But it's all linked and organized for you, all the books. Real magic. Remember when we did a full episode on that one? So good. If you enjoy learning the science, if you want, you know, at times it could be a little bit dry because they are describing in depth the experiments, but I love that shit because it really like shows your ego mind. Like, it's not just fantasy or wouldn't it be cool if this worked? There's science behind it. So that really helps me to understand the details. So I love Real Magic if you're into learning a little bit more of the science behind real magic. Witchery, Embrace the Witch Within by Juliet Diaz, what Juliet mentioned. So amazing. Good. When I started reading it, I was like, this is exactly how I've described what witchcraft means to me. We just feel so on the same page in the way Juliet Diaz describes witchcraft and that connection to earth and to spirit and the beyond. So that's a fantastic one. And she also has cool spells in there and stuff too. But I really like the bulk of the book in which she's talking about what a practice means to you. And another fun one is The Spell Book for New Witches. I love having spell books on hand when I want a little inspiration. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, I've never used a spell book as like a recipe and followed it line by line, but it is helpful to read them to sort of learn foundational things from spell books. And if you feel called to follow one step by step, like by all means, go for it. So that's a fun one. And then I have The Good Witch's Guide by Sean Robbins, The Witch's Guide to Manifestation by Mystic Dillon, Wikipedia by Sean Robbins, The Witch's Book of Self-Care, which is one of my first ever witchy books that I got years and years and years ago. And that's by Erin Murphy Hiscock. Let's see. I have a lot of Sean Robbins. There are all those pretty books that you might have seen around. I like them because they're pretty. They're a little bit repetitive, but The Witch's Way by Sean Robbins, Crystal Witch by Leanna Greenaway, Sigil Witchery. If you've ever been interested in doing sigil magic, which is so simple, so powerful, you need a pen or a marker, a pencil, and sigil magic is really, really powerful. That's a great book. Wild Magic is a book we read as a group in our Discord a long time ago. And then I haven't read this one, but I popped it in here because it's on my to-be-read, Psychic Witch by Matt Oren. I've heard is really good. So those are some of my go-tos. And like I said, I have an Amazon storefront with them all organized. And I also have a section of mindset magic books that are categorized separately. So not as much witchy, but spiritual, personal development. There's lots of books there too. So I have tons of book recommendations because you know I'm a book fiend and I'm always reading. So that's my go-to. And you can find that list all organized. imsadieolson.com/magic and go to my Amazon storefront and you'll see the different book categories. It's all organized there.
I was thinking of like spiritual, personal development, artist type books that have like done it for me. I talk about this one a lot. It's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. If you're an artist, you must read it.
Oh,
it's all about resistance and ego.
The Creative Act by Rick Rubin is the one that I read most recently. Absolutely fucking incredible. I want to make it as homework for our Rebel Visionaries. That were at the time of this when this drops, Rebel Visionary will be over and our rebels will be being visionaries out in the real world. But I was going to mention this book. It's absolutely incredible. I listened to it on Audible. I'm going to buy a copy because I prefer to read and take notes all over my books, but I've listened to it on Audible twice now. It's so good.
Wow.
Just about the creative process, making it your own. Again, another book where I'm like, this is exactly how I think about this, you know, really about like the freedom that discipline and consistency gives you, where we might think those are opposing forces, but like, it's just really how to like live and support and get into the mindset where creativity is your natural state. And it's not something you have to wait for the muses to like sprinkle their fairy dust on you to be like, oh, I have an idea. Like you can pull that in for you at any time. Anyways, that's a great one too. I love it. I need to read the one you just mentioned. So,
please. I mean, it's one of those books that I've read literally 100 times. It's like the foundation for so much of like how I teach and how I live. Like it's so, people are like, how are you so courageous? Read the book. Yeah. What else did I write down? I love You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. I love those books. I love
I was going to say the You Are a Badass at Making Money is really good too.
Mm-hmm. That one's good too. Same. I love anything where I can listen to like Eckhart Tolle or Wayne Dyer. Like I can just float away to those charming men's voices. I like Abraham Hicks. I like listening. I used to like reading more and then my close-up vision, you know, got a little worse. I have glasses, but I have to get new ones. Anyways, I like to listen. And then, oh, I talked about Weetsy Bat. Anything by Francesca Leah Block. She like mentions witches and fairies and it's very poetic and it's very dreamy and it inspires me. I'm still a little stuffy. Please forgive me.
And I've mentioned a million times, I read tons of Osho books. I'm reading a new one called Tantra. My favorite one that I read of his that I would recommend is called, what is it called? It is, there's a bunch of them. It's The Joy of Living Dangerously is a tagline. Courage. Courage.
Mm-hmm.
Courage.
That one's at my house right now.
Oh, you borrowed that one. Yeah. I read that one like twice back to back and I will reread it 1,000 more times. It's so good. So yeah, if you're someone who wants to build up your confidence to, you know, push past fear and embrace living courageously, I just love how you've worded it, The Joy of Living Dangerously. And I love Osho because he's very like, he's like very abrupt. And some of the things you're like, oh, like that's an intense way to say that. But it just like, he just gets to the fucking point. And yeah. I love his intensity. And I think I mentioned this before, like, I don't agree with everything he says. I actually disagree with a lot of what he says. But I think that's what's really fun about learning a lot from like a specific person is being able to distinguish like, ooh, that like really hits hard with me. And I'm going to like embrace the fuck out of that. And then some of the stuff I'm like, that gives me the ick, and I can still like enjoy like the juicy mm-hmm. good stuff. Cause he's an intense guy. And that's when you're polarizing like that and you take a stand for your beliefs, like that's when you make the biggest impact. And, that's something that I don't know. I just like enjoy is like sifting through like, ooh, like this is what hits, this is what doesn't. So I love Osho. I have all my Osho books, linked in the Mindset Magic section, of that too. Books. I love them. I could talk about books all day. We could do a whole episode on books.
What's next on the question list?
Let's see. Let me go back. Do you feel like you've had past lives together? If yes, what relationship dynamics?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. We've talked about this.
Yeah, Julia has been my husband before. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not husband, but a masculine energy partner. Maybe we were both women.
Yeah, there was something there. Because there is this, like, I have to actively do work in my brain to be like, no, 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 like you don't have to take care of Sadie. That's not your job. I'm like, no. Yeah, that it's a very, and then I have a girlfriend named Carly, and I think in a past life she was my husband. Like I have different friendship dynamics where like I just different sides of me come out, like mm-hmm. depending on who I'm around. I mean, I shouldn't say husband, partner, whatever. But like
yeah.
there's just certain dynamics where like when I'm around her, I feel like oh, I don't have to worry about a thing. Like, she's the grounded one. She's like, she'll just make sure I don't go too crazy. I can like cut loose around her. Like there's yeah. that. And then in our dynamic, this like this like gorilla in me comes out. I don't know. I just want to like provide and protect. It's this very funny thing.
I do feel like we've done this before. I like yeah. recently, like I had like a, it felt like deja vu. Obviously, we have been teaching together for a long time now, but it was a different kind of deja vu of like us teaching together, or like, I don't know how to describe it, but I think we've lived like tons of lives together and had like all sorts mm-hmm. of different dynamics. Like, I'm sure we yeah. were like sisters at some point. I'm sure mm-hmm. that we were different things. But well, I'm getting a big chill, but I feel like our like karmic path has always come back to like, you know, like we've probably been witches in a past life, you know, and like secretly tried to like teach women to be powerful, but like keep it a big secret, you know. Like I just feel like mm-hmm. I had this like deja vu moment of like, oh, like you guys have done this before, like mm-hmm. you've been pushing to make this happen and be as big as it could possibly be for many lives. Like we're continuing on the mission. And like, I just feel like there's been lives where it's like been shut down, or we had to do it in quiet, or like, or we were really successful in life. And we're just like continuing on this same like mission throughout many lives of like teaching and making, you know, women see their power and be bigger and braver mm-hmm. and create purpose and fulfillment in their lives. I'm just like, oh, we've done this before.
Well, it's very specific. I mean, I've had a lot of girlfriends in my life, and not once was I like, should we like become spiritual teachers and start a movement? Like, that didn't come up. It was like, where do you want to go to dinner? And this just sort of came up like so naturally, like,
yeah,
like this is what it's going to be. And we both right. went, yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I just, since I was a little kid, I was like kind of like intensely spiritual. And then, so it just like makes sense. But then I think like, yeah, I could, I just can never pin down how I was meant to express it or how I was meant to live it. Like there was, I don't know. And then, you know, my grounded partner comes in and helps me figure it out. We found each other in the crystal store, of course. I feel like, like our last life, we were like 99 years old and we were gonna, and we were like the notebook where we're gonna pass over at the same time. And we were like, I'll meet you in the crystal store next one. I feel like maybe that was what happened. And then we, at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I've also never, I've never had a friendship where, like, you know, like where my entire life changed after, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, like we went to some concerts. We like had some memories. You, I'm sure you have many barn party stories. Like we,
I sure we do.
We all have these like, oh, you know, me and my girlfriends go to CPK, but like, you know, so specific and big. And I'll talk about it last week, but it overwhelms me. I'm going to share last week on how just it's an interesting thing where like you go and you go and you go and you build and you build and you build and you create and you pursue. And then like you stop because we're in like a retrograde right now and you kind of pause and you look around and like, I'm so overwhelmed. I could cry and not in a bad way, not in a bad way. I'm just overwhelmed. And, you know, what are my other friends and I doing? Going to Harlow and drinking margarita. Like it's just a different thing.
Yeah, totally.
Which is where I got this cold. But it's almost gone. It's almost gone. Okay. Past lives. Yeah, I could definitely see us being teachers together. Or almost like maybe we did something else together. Look at me comparing us to the Beatles. Like when John Lennon met Paul McCartney and was like, I mean, I could do it alone, but damn, it'll be a lot better if I bring that guy. I want us to be the Beatles of witches.
We are. We are claiming it now.
Yeah.
We are Paul and John.
Witch mania.
There was Paul and John and now there's Sadie and Juliet.
Yes.
I love it.
God.
Witch mania.
So yeah, in a past life, we were Beatles. We were, or like maybe we helped people like escape together. I don't know from what, but we've partnered up. Or
I feel like we've gotten into mischief, like, but for like a greater purpose.
And I know for a fact in those mischievous situations, you were like, come on. And I was like, I'm not sure about this. That was, and then I did it. Like that was how it played out. Every single lifetime, every single time.
It's so funny because even in this lifetime, I have that side of me. And then I have the side of me that's like, I can't break any rules. Like,
me too.
You know, like I have both. I have my rebellious nature that's easy to express in like our world and our online world, right? But then like in real life, I'll be like, don't stand in the wrong line. Make sure you do everything correctly. Don't break any rules. And it's like, yeah, of course we should all do that in to a respectful extent, right? Of like respecting other people in space and whatever. But no, it's beyond that. It's like, it's like social anxiety. It's like, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to be looked at funny, which I've actually overcome a lot since traveling. You know, I'm just like, well, I'm clearly a tourist here. So if I'm being weird right now, they'll just think it's cute. I'm holding my chopsticks funny or mixing the wrong things together in this food that they gave me. And I don't know what it is. And they can't explain to me what I'm supposed to do. They'll just think, oh, that's funny. Look at that cute little American over there messing up.
It's funny the ways it's funny the ways in which you and I are like both so crazy brave and also like so anxious, and how they're always opposites. Like they always, one of us is always able to kick in when the other one's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Look, my Botox is kicking in
a little bit. Try.
It feels, so it's still like up here and a little on this side, but this side's completely flat and like here. Oh. It feels weird when I try to do this.
Okay. Try to look surprised. That's only a little surprise now.
But this eyebrow is going up. Like, it didn't kick in over here. It's bothering me.
You gotta say it with your eyes.
Nothing's happening here or here. But it kind of like feels funny, and I probably shouldn't do this a lot, but I kind of like the feeling.
They're like, Sadie,
you're gonna wear it out. Sadie metabolizes her Botox in 3 weeks because she likes the feeling of trying to work against it.
She's like, everyone, look.
Anyways.
Wow. Look at her go. It looks like you're trying to lift a really heavy weight. You're like, ugh.
It's just this side still going up. Maybe this,
Is that what happened to my face by nature? I have like natural Botox on this side and not on this side.
I like your one sassy eyebrow, but some people do it like that to like make them stop doing that. But I don't think you should. No. I like your sassy eyebrow.
I just it's always look like I'm up to something. It just stays there. Oh, well. In a past life, I always had a hunch. All right. That's past life.
Okay. So we have another past life question.
Wow. Y'all are curious.
A throwback. So we'll chat about this, but we actually, one of our first episodes ever, we go in depth. But you can check this out. Have either of you done a past life regression? If so, please dish. And we both have around the same time. And we did it with our good friend Tiffany, who I don't think is doing past life regressions any longer.
But she's doing astrology. Mm-hmm. Higher self guidance. And she does a lot of very good giveaways.
Yeah, at higherself.guidance. Look her up. Yeah, she does tarot and astrology. She's amazing. And she probably have a recommendation for someone for past life stuff because she did it for a while. But do you want to talk about your past life regression?
Yeah, it was such a bummer. I was like, maybe I was Princess Diana. Maybe I was the queen. No, she was like, look in your hand. What are you holding? I'm like, it's a bucket. Filled with filthy water. And what are you wearing? I'm wearing tattered clothes and an apron. And where are you going? Well, I'm going to this house to clean it. And I had this whole, I was like this maid who worked for this family, and the wife was really nice and very generous. And like her friends were like, you shouldn't give her so much. Like the friends were like, she is the help. It was very Victorian era. And I had a husband who my family told me I should marry because he seemed like he had money. Well, surprise, he didn't. So I had to go work, and he was older and he was icky. And I either like lost a baby or couldn't have a baby in this life. And I was just very unhappy. And then he died. And then I went to be a school teacher, and then I died alone. And that was my past life.
So, okay. So when you go to that, so we did quantum healing hypnosis technique, which was, I don't know, there must be different ways you can do it. So quantum QHHT. And so what you do is you give your practitioner, so we gave Tiffany a list of questions, and she takes us on a past life journey. And she hypnotizes you, she takes you on a past life journey. The intention is that like you are visiting a past life that has something to tell you about what you need to know for this life. And then she she takes you out of the past life and just into your subconscious mind. And she asks you the questions and then you answer them. So my question is, why did you visit that life? Why did your subconscious mind say Juliet needs to remember this life to help her with her current life?
So all the jobs that I did before we did this full time were like domestic jobs. Like I worked in people's homes and I took care of the kids and I took care of the animals and I cleaned the kitchens. And like I did all of that. It felt very familiar. It felt very, I'm not going to say easy. It just felt familiar because, you know, it's hard. But I think there was this part of me in my soul or in my heart that felt like, well, this is like the best it's going to get. And I think that I've done a lot of work in the past few years of realizing, no, like it gets to be better and you get to do more and give more and share more and also receive more. And that doesn't make you like a greedy, terrible person.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that, I mean, I don't know if it's a past life thing because my parents certainly didn't like try to drill that into me. But I think I just had lives where like I was just like on my knees scrubbing. Like that was my life. And so it felt natural when I had, you know, I was the number one student in my UCLA graduating college class and, you know, awards up the wazoo. And I still went into like domestic work, which is like, you know, dignified work, but it was just interesting that I chose that path and I like did technically have other options. So I think I was just being shown it that like I stayed in like a supportive role. Like I never let myself be like a main character role because this does sort of feel like the maybe one of the first times I've done this in this way. Cause it is easy for me to revert back to like kind of like smallness and like, oh no. Like I'll take care of you. Like you're the star. Like you like, no, like I'll handle it. Like it's easy. That's so easy for me to do. And I did it for many, many years. So I think, and when we did that was in 2020, I think 2020, 2021.
It was like before we started the podcast because it was one of our first episodes and it had been a
little
bit.
So it was 2020. So think about it. That was when, you know, it was when we were both sort of like reimagining what our lives could be. And that's when I had that. And then you had almost an opposite experience that almost showed you, it almost gave you the same result, but it took a different path to like give you that information, like to remind you of what, like what's possible. So tell us about your past life.
Yeah. So, so I was brought to a life that I felt like I was in Mexico. Like when I looked around, I saw like pyramids and things that it felt like, I didn't think it was like Egyptian pyramids anyways. And like when, so one thing that was interesting when she told me to like look down at what I was wearing, I had rings on every finger and like all this jewelry, which I'm very, you know, I love stacking all of the jewelry possible. So that was interesting. But this life, basically I experienced a lot of loss in this life. Like many of my loved ones died young. And so basically I walked into like my village, trying to like go through the story. I didn't have any children of my own, but I raised my nephew as though he was my son because I had a sister that like died in childbirth, and my son / nephew in that life was my brother Luke. Now I knew that right away. So that was interesting. And I'm the oldest and I'm the only girl in my siblings right now. I have two younger brothers. And so there's definitely a little bit of that, like, especially after my mom passed, like that mothering role. So that's a very interesting like mirror. So I lost my sister and then, I got married. I was like married or I, you know, had a partner who was like really hot. we were like, I think it was like kind of arranged, but like we were like super into each other. But then he also passed away like too soon. And so it was really, I had experienced multiple losses and it was really like me and who is Luke, my brother in this life, that we were closely bonded. But there was different things that happened. Like, my husband was being honored in some sort of ceremony. I think he wasn't like the leader of our village or anything. Maybe it was for like being a warrior or something. And as all the men went into these, what's it called when they like go into these, sweat lodge things, like the woman stayed outside. And I remember being sort of like honored as well. And I didn't have, I wasn't like a medicine woman or anything like that, but people came to me for advice. Like I had an unofficial, like wise woman sort of vibe. I experienced these multiple losses. I saw myself as someone who, helped people with, through my, I guess, intuition, through my thoughts, through my wisdom. And then what was the most interesting part was I grew to be very old. I outlived all of my family. And as I was laying on my dying bed, I was very, consciously holding on and waiting for everyone in my village to come. They were all like coming to say goodbye. And then like, I knew when the last person left and I let go, like on purpose. Mm. Ooh, I'm getting chills right now. And it was the most like, it was, I can't even describe it. I died. And it was like the most comforting, delicious feeling. And it was like, I was like this orb that floated up and I saw all these orbs whizzing towards me that were like my loved ones in spirit. And it was like, it just felt like it was this buzzing of like, oh, like we missed you. Like, we're so happy you're here. Like kind of like energy. That was so magical. And then it was like, okay, well you can go like meet with your guides now and like review this last life. And then we sort of like talked about like, oh, these were the lessons and this is, you know, this and this and this. And, so I think the reason I saw that life, so this was around the time that I was first starting my business, and I was doing like intuitive readings. I was doing one-on-one coaching for the first time. I had just gone through like a lot of programs and was like first starting to like put it out there that I was ready to teach. And so one, I think I needed to see that I've done this before. And then two, the way that I alchemized loss in my life and still lived such a beautiful, full life and was so loved, and that my family and the love of my life extended far beyond the people I was related to, and that I had a greater impact. And at this time, my grief was really hard and the doubts were strong in the beginning of business of like, who do I think I am to teach and think I can do this? Yeah. So it was sort of a life of like, you've done this exact thing before. You're good. Like, go ahead. It was really cool.
I'm imagining anybody listening is like, wow, that's so specific and vivid. You'll be amazed. I mean, I'm obviously very spiritual and I still went in so skeptical. I was like, yeah, we'll see. We did see. It was amazing.
It was so weird because I was like, oh, yeah, like I was like, oh, I don't know if I can be hypnotized, you know? And I didn't feel hypnotized. It was like being in a meditation.
No, I remember. I remember all of it.
Yeah.
But she definitely got into a part of my brain, because I don't know what the percentage is, but like we only use X amount percentage of our brain. Like she went to some area that I don't go to for sure. And I've been, I've been craving an experience like that. Maybe there'll be some mystical thing in Italy I can do.
Yeah. Italian folk magic is a very real thing. That'd be cool. We're going to try and maybe get our tea leaves read or something somewhere. I don't know, Korea or Japan or something. Because I've never.
Oh, yeah. My grandma used to do that, and her mother.
Oh, that's so cool. But yeah, it was.
Tea leaf readers.
It was really cool. I would definitely recommend a past life reading, in the QHHT method specifically was really powerful and healing. And yeah, they just, you know, that they're they're talking to you the whole time and you're answering out loud and they're guiding the conversation and asking you all the right questions. And you think like, oh, I'm just making this up because I'm just, I don't know, it's a weird feeling. But I remember when I came back and she was like, how long do you think you were in your, you know, hypnotized state for? And I was like, I don't know, like maybe like 15 or 20 minutes. And she's like, actually, it's been over an hour. So the time is warped when you're in it. So that was sort of like proof to me like, oh, I was hypnotized, because I was like, that did not feel like an hour. That was crazy.
I had the same experience.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
It was really cool.
Oh, but you should know, if you're going to do QHHT at the beginning, there's like an hour or two where they just have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And they like want to know like the cast of characters in your life and like where you grew up and all these things. And I remember you thought that y'all were just,
just, I was asking her all the questions back. I thought we were just catching up because we had been coworkers.
I know. You're like, yeah, what about you?
What about you? What was your childhood like?
This will go faster if you just answer. So we were funny. Catching up.
I wanted to know. So yeah, that was our past life experience. And I think we, you know, when we recorded, it's one of the first episodes and it was more fresh in our mind too. So it might have more details and there was more to it too. So go check out that episode if you want to learn more. One of the very first ones, but yeah, very cool. Okay. I love this next question. Tips for kickstarting your own business.
Ooh, let me think of what did you write down or think of?
I didn't write anything down. I'm flying by the seat of my pants here, but I'm happy to start. So tips for kickstarting your own business. One, just start. You don't have to know what you're doing. You'll figure it out along the way. The best way to learn is by doing it. You don't get anywhere by contemplating, by thinking about it, by being like, should I do it this way or that way? You can always change your mind. Start the Instagram page, start the TikTok page, save your website domain so you have the name, even if you're not ready to build the website out yet. Do all of the things, like get in there. And then honestly, like, well, one, it's really helpful if you're ready to hire somebody to help you. So, you know, I don't know what kind of business you're looking to start, but find a mentor or a coach or a program that aligns with the work you want to do to help you start that. That's going to be huge. That's going to help quantum leap you forward in your business. And then finally, and this is something that, you know, we try to live by, and it's hard sometimes. It's like this past week, I had a hard time doing this, but we really believe in like, you need to do things your way. That's going to be the most authentic. That's going to be the most magnetic. But there's like one rule, and that's consistency. Like, you have to show up for the business consistently. You have to, especially at the beginning, you have to be selling every single day. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. It might be showing up in your stories every single day and having, you know, like hard posts on social media a couple times a week. But the more consistent you are, the more momentum you're going to build. Also just like sort of like little tidbits of like, pick like brand colors and certain fonts that you use that will make you recognizable. Study businesses that you really admire that they don't have to have anything to do with what you want to do, but you really are drawn to them. There's something about them that you're like, oh, every time they post, like, even though I don't need the thing, or I don't even really actually want the thing, like I want to click buy for some reason. Study why that is, what lights you up. Like, you can learn so much from observation. And at the same time, don't get too caught up in following closely along with people in your specific niche or industry, because you might get kind of fuzzed up on like, oh, I'm supposed to do things this way. My recommendation is when you're studying businesses to actually study things that are really different from you, so it doesn't affect how you think you're supposed to do your specific thing. Juliet and I, like, we try not to follow too many spiritual podcasts, too many spiritual teachers, and we like to follow different kinds of businesses that are completely different than ours, but that still really inspire us, because sometimes it gets hard where you start thinking like, oh, they have a certain look or a certain voice, or, you know, am I supposed to wear a flowy white dress every day in order to be a spiritual teacher? You can, but it's not required. So those are my things. And Juliet, what do you got?
Okay. I was writing some stuff. So the first thing is, it's really important that you go in with the mindset of, you know what, I can figure anything out. I can figure everything out. People who had less education or less advantages or who were less smart than me on an IQ level have figured it out. So there is something, I know I can see the little picture of, I know like a beautiful woman submitted this. Sometimes in my experience, I had this happen in music, and sometimes in business it happens where men can make it sound like it's very hard and very, and it is hard, but like, it's not harder than anything else. So don't let anybody, including yourself, talk you out of the truth that like, it's possible, you can figure it out. It's one step at a time. You don't need to have it all figured out from day one. If I mapped out, if like I went to myself 3 years ago and was like, here's the list of 9,000 things that you're going to do in the next 3 years to legitimize your business, I might not do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'd be like, this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But when you take one thing at a time and you learn one thing at a time, it's actually very fun when you view it as like this puzzle that you're trying to figure out, like, ooh, like people get really overwhelmed by taxes. It's not that complicated. Like you just have to just approach it from a new angle, figure it out. I wrote down, there's a lot you can do at the start with a $0 budget. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes there's a misconception that you have to be, I mean, unless you're maybe doing a product, if you're doing like an online digital business, there you can get a lot off the ground for $0. You can get a lot off the ground. You can make your social media pages. You can go into Canva and make branding and posts, and you can go live and you can host a Zoom call. Like there's a lot you can do with $0. So get excited about that. If you're going to put your money into anything, and I'm not just saying this because like I'm on the receiving end of this, it would be programs and mentorship, because you're going to move through something quicker. It literally is a time saver. Like you can be in a program and learn how to do something, or you can spend 6 years trying to figure it out on your own, or you can ask your mentor a question or spend 6 months trying to figure it out. And of course, like everybody, you know, is empowered to do whatever they want and figure it out their own way. But when I've had programs and mentors, it was like, oh, well, that sped that along. And it was always a really great way to invest money. And then it was always tax deductible. So I always recommend that. You got to get into the mindset that selling is a service. If you have any funky beliefs about selling, you're not going to have fun selling. And if you're not having fun selling, you're not going to sell. So, you know, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to read or study or embody to like get in the energy of like selling is a joy. And definitely when we worked at that jewelry and crystal store, I learned that. And it became so much fun. It was so much fun, because sometimes I think we're like, oh my God, this necklace is, I mean, one time I rang somebody up and it was like $18,000. And a part of me was like, oh my gosh, they're getting $18,000 worth of like crystals and bracelets. But then I was like, oh my God, like look at me helping them find what they want and what they need and what's going to like decorate their home. And this is this, they can afford, this is what they want to do. So, you know, getting into the mindset of like selling is amazing. Selling is a service. You're helping solve a problem. And then just having a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of resilience, a lot of grit to be in business. And you have it. And if you don't have it, you'll build it. Like it's it's like a callus, like when you're playing guitar, like, you know, you might have little soft fingers at first, and then the more you do it, the more strength you build up, or anything, any type of muscle.
Yeah.
But we believe in you, and there's nothing we love more than the witchy women in our world, like going after their dreams, whether it's a business or something else, right? Like, we are your biggest cheerleaders, and it's totally possible. It's totally possible. So those are my business tips.
I love it. Next question. I love this question. I love all of them. Opinions on mermaids and fae stories.
So I used to have a big obsession with mermaids, like a deep, deep. And not like as a little kid, but as like a 15-year-old. It like kicked in like mid-teen age. And I had a boyfriend at the time who would call me mermaid girl. It was like a thing. I had like mermaids. I mean, not because I like did anything slippery. I just, it was no, just like a cute.
It's like mermaid girl. What a nickname.
Yeah, I don't know. Knowing me, I probably told him to call me that because I was like living in my poetry daydream. You know those TikToks that are like, gosh, what's her name? She's so funny. She does like the character in the indie movie that like thinks like everyone's in love with her.
I haven't.
That was, oh my gosh, that was me at 15. Like I, you know, like Juno had just come out, you know, like it was, I was.
I think we should all live our everyday life as though everyone is in love with us because they are.
Oh, I really did. I was like, I remember, okay, I have this memory. I'm going to like sidetrack for 1 second. I used to have this friend named Chris. I don't know what happened to him, but, we would hang out a lot, and we were sitting in my car one night, and I was like, let's go like look at the city lights and the stars and like talk about deep things and like write poems and I'll like bring a blanket. And like, that's what we would literally do. Like, it wasn't like my way of making a move. It was like what we did. And, I remember he said this to me and okay. He looked at me and he said, you know, Juliet, sometimes I think this whole world was made for you. Oh, if you don't think that sent me to the moon. And I was like, I kind of think so too. So anyways, that was like mermaid time. I've not seen one. I think it's totally possible that they exist. I would love to see one. I see all sorts of stories that they're like near Maui. Mm. And so like, I'd love to go there and find a mermaid. And chill. I also think fairies exist, but I don't have stories. I just have a feeling.
Mm-hmm. I totally believe in them. I also, you know, there's like with the mermaids, I think it is funny because they're like, well, like people didn't have like glasses for a long time. And so they couldn't see that well. So maybe it was like a dolphin or something. And I could understand that. And maybe sometimes that did happen where they're like, it's a mermaid. It wasn't actually a mermaid, but I do believe, you know, I don't know what's the real, you know, who's right about the specifics of mermaids and fae and other, you know, like sort of folkloric, mythological, like, are these things real type of stories? But I think they're based in truth for sure. Fairies, I have had, like, not like clearly seen with my, you know, eyeballs, but I've had psychic connections with. One was really fun on an IG live where we were doing free readings. We were doing a reading for one of our babes that's actually in our psychic circle and coven and everything in the Alchemy Collective, and we adore. But we were doing a free reading for her, and a lot of stuff was coming through. And then I kept having this thing where like I felt like I was seeing fairies around her, but I like my ego was like, that sounds so weird. Like, don't say that. Like, she's just gonna be like, okay, you know. And but I was like, no, psychics oath, I just say what comes to me, you know. And I'm so glad I said it, because I was like this sounds kind of weird, but I feel like there's like fairies around you. And she was like, oh my gosh, like I think that, I never, like, you know, she's like, I know it sounds weird, but like I absolutely think there's fairies around me. I feel like I've like seen them and felt them. And so that was really cool. And I feel like I've seen like orbs, like small orbs flitting around that, like, my intuition says, like, oh, a fairy. But I haven't had, like, interaction. When I was just in Queenstown, New Zealand, and we went for this beautiful hike, there was a huge area on the hike that was a fairy village that people had stacked up stones into, like, I think they call it, like, cairns when they stack all the flat rocks. And people had put up these, like, painted little doorways and all of these things. And I left a little offering, like, I left a few coins, and I felt them. Like, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any sort of sense of fairies, like, actually being there. And then as soon as I tucked the a few pennies into, like, this little crevice in one of the little, like, fairy things that were reachable from the path, and I just immediately, like, felt energy buzzing all around me from the whole it was like they, like, knew how to, like, completely, like, kind of, like, protect or sort of just, like, cover themselves energetically, like, hide away. And as soon as I like stuck that in, it just was a complete night and day shift where I was like, oh my gosh, I feel all their energy. Like, they're buzzing, they're, like, happy, like, they're like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, is give us an offering. Not everyone gets that, so they don't get to feel our energy. So that was really cool. So I absolutely think fairies are all around us. And actually, my last place that I lived with Craig, down our street, there was, like, a big fairy village too. I never really felt them there, but I always loved walking past. I never made an offering though. Maybe if I had made an offering, I would have felt them more. But I absolutely believe in it. I have less of, I don't have mermaid stories, and I have less knowledge about that. But in terms of fairies, like, they're known where they, like, can be mischievous. But I think if you respect them, they love offerings, coins, or treats, like sugary treats, I think. And, like, don't ask them for things. Just say, like, I'm really, like, happy you're here. I'm really happy just to, like, feel your energy. Because they couldn't be mischievous. So if you ask them to help you with something, it might not turn out the way that you want it to. But I've definitely felt very strongly fairy energy. So yeah, that's my thoughts on mermaids and fairies. Definitely think they're both real.
There's this book that I used to read. Oh my God, there's this girl I used to babysit. I think she just turned 17, which is unbelievable, because she was like six. And six through, I think, around 13, maybe 14, they called me one time and then they stopped. You know, she's an only child and she got big. But I follow her on Instagram. Anyways, we keep in touch. But there's this book that I used to read to her. And it was one of those books where it was like a personalized book where it would go through every letter and spell out the full name. And each letter would have, like, a poem, and it was, like, all fairy based. So it was like, oh, the flower fairy queen is here. What is her name? And it would, we would just crack up because I would make this big scene of, like, oh my God, like, it kept going. And then it was like, oh, but there's a middle name. Then there'd be, like, a poem for every letter of the middle name. And then, oh, but what about the last? I'm like, oh, it's you. You're the fair. And, like, we would laugh so hard. I have children's fairy books, like, in my closet, because I've always loved them. I love everything mystical and mythical.
Yeah. It's been suggested before. We need to do an episode on, like, mermaids, fairies, and maybe one other thing. We can do a little, like, is it folklore? Is it real? Is it, you know, that'd be fun.
Gnomes.
To learn more.
Gnomes. Garden gnomes. I used to collect garden gnomes.
Yeah.
My dad recently organized them in a little, like, formation and, like, planted flowers all around them. It's so cute.
I love it. When I was in high school, we used to stay out all night and we would wreak havoc in my friend Haley's neighborhood. We would sneak out and we would switch everyone's lawn ornaments. And we thought it was so funny. We were like, let's put their garden gnomes over here. And we would swap it all around just so that, and we thought it was so funny that the neighbors have to be like, my garden gnomes are over here. I'm just going to take them back. We thought it was a harmless prank. We just thought it was the funniest shit ever. And I don't know, there was a lot of lawn ornaments in our neighborhood. There was like deer and gnomes and all sorts of things and bird baths. And we would like lug these big things.
Imagine if like there was a child in one of those houses who'd be like, oh, they moved.
The gnomes are alive. That was kind of,
created.
We were like, nothing. Yeah, like, what's going on?
I love that.
We would do it every few weekends in the summer. Like, we thought it was so funny. And then her dad would lock us out of the house because he knew we snuck out. We're like, we're just running around the neighborhood. We would stay out all night until, like, it got light out. And then we'd go home and go to bed. We were so weird.
Oh, my gosh. See, good that's times. What friends do. You rearrange lawn fixtures. You go dancing. You don't usually start a movement like this, but here we are. Sometimes I dream of a simpler life where I could just rearrange lawn ornaments.
You know, maybe the next life.
Yeah.
We'll take a break.
We'll come back as squirrels in the yard of a lady who, like, leaves food out for us.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
That sounds nice.
I'd like to be a koala after meeting so many koalas.
Oh, yeah.
They're so, you know, they munch on their little eucalyptus. They get high. They snooze. They stretch.
They're living.
They cuddle with each other. That sounds like a good life.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. There's two more.
Mm-hmm.
This question. Do you remember your first psychic and medium reading? What was it like and how did you feel? Like receiving one or probably doing one?
Probably doing. But we can kind of touch on both.
Well, I used to go to lots of psychics because I found it fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And also frustrating because I had a couple times where it was spot on and then the rest sort of felt a little bit not real. But I was always drawn to it. I was always like, what? Like, how do you have wisdom about me? Like, I just thought that was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And, but my first psychic reading ever that I received, I was 14. I was at like a street fair. There was a woman there for $20. I sat down, my mom sat down next to me. I was so embarrassed afterwards, but she looked at my hand and she was like, you need to get away from your boyfriend. He's like, really taking advantage of you. He's like, really. And I had just sat there and said nothing. She's like, I don't know why you let him treat you this way. Like, don't worry.
Your
like, it's going to be over.
There.
And she's like, don't worry. It's going to be over in the next few months, which I couldn't have fathomed at the time because I had already dealt with him for like almost 2 years. And when you're like, you know, 14,
that's
almost 15, you're like, well, I guess this is my life, right? You don't think it's going to end. And she's like, you just are so anxious all the time. You're like, you know, tiptoeing around him, all these. And I was like, okay. And we were walking away. My mom goes, what was she talking about? And me, typical like 14-year-old, I said, I have no idea. And I just like lied because I was like, I'm not getting into this.
Yeah.
But she couldn't have been more correct. She couldn't have been more correct. So that was the first time I received a reading that like was so accurate. It kind of scared me. I think she also said some other things about like my future and my career, but I don't remember them. Those didn't stick out as much.
Mm-hmm.
But then the first time I gave a reading, it's hard to say because I was reading people's palms when I was a teenager. Like I was doing readings long, long, long ago. So I don't remember my first reading in that sense. But just loving doing it and mm-hmm. thinking it was so magical. And I think what's so cool is now being in a place where it's like, yeah, of course I'm psychic and so are you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most empowering kind of psychic a person can be, you know, and all the, you know, who am I thinking of? Like Laura Lynn Jackson, is that her name? She's this amazing medium, and she teaches people, like, you're intuitive, you're psychic, like the legitimate amazing ones always do. And I just think that's so admirable. And I really, like, you know, aspire to do that and to talk like that. What about you?
Okay. So I didn't, people aren't like, oh, we're all psychic in Wisconsin. There's not psychics hanging around. I never had a reading, like, until, literally my first reading was like when I was thinking about doing a mentorship to be psychic. That was my first reading. But it's funny because my mom was totally, like, looking back, my mom was totally psychic. And we were always getting in fights because she'd be like, I know that you did this, or that you do this, or that you sneak around or whatever. Because I was a naughty teenager. Like, I was always up to something. And I was like, show me the proof. Like, you can't prove that. I was such a rat. Such a bitch. But like she was just like she would get so frustrated because she knew, but she, like, it was, she just knew. It was just clear cognizance. Mm-hmm. Which is funny. And also she had a handful of meditations that she told me about, and I was like, that's creepy that you, like, knew that. But I didn't, like, take it seriously. I was just like, okay, that's so weird. And I had a couple times myself, but, you know, you just, I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate. You just brush it off. You make excuses for it. It's a coincidence. When I was little, I was remembering this recently, when I was like probably between like 9 and 12, I was pretty young. I have a vivid memory. We were camping up north where we always go camping, sleeping in the tent. I had a dream that my mom got cancer and that she died. And the whole next day I was hanging on my mom. It was such a real dream. I wouldn't let her go. And I remember she was like, and I didn't want to tell her what my dream was, cause I don't know. I felt like if I spoke it out loud, it would be real or something. And so but I was just clinging to her all day. I was like, my mom's here. My mom's here. She's okay. And, she was like laughing, and she was like, leave me alone. Like, she's like, you need to give me some space. Like, I have this day vividly in my mind. And I remember when my mom first got sick, feeling like that dream came up a lot of like, should I have said something? Cause they said that this cancer takes years and years to show itself. It's lung cancer is known as the silent killer. It doesn't show up until it's stage four. She could have had it for a very long time. And I had to like work through a lot of like weird guilt around that. But I'm like, when you're a kid, you don't think you have a dream and you're like predicting something. But it was like I had never had a reaction to a dream like that. And I never have since, where I was just,
wow.
I just remember the whole, it took me days to get over the dream. I was like, so, you know, that was weird. But my first reading was with medium Megan Hart, who is then also our psychic mentor. And she actually reached out to me on Instagram and was like, I'm interested in one of your, like, it was when I was first starting out coaching. And she's like, I'm interested in like a one-on-one coaching session. Cause I think I said, I'm going to do like 5 free ones for practice. And, I was like, oh, like my free ones are done, but actually I always wanted a reading. Like, would you want to do a trade? And she was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So we traded. I gave her a coaching session. She gave me a reading. And I couldn't believe it. This was in 2020, and I had never like not believed in psychics, but I also didn't believe in them either. Like, I just, they weren't a part of my life. It wasn't something I thought about ever. Like, are they real or aren't they? I just had no formulated opinion. But I wanted it to be real as I started my spiritual journey. Right. And had started following Megan and seeing her testimonials and stuff. And I just couldn't believe it. It was so powerful. I was like sobbing. I was, you know, this is about 4 years after my mom had passed. It was in August, which is the month she passed. So, you know, it was coming up on like, let's see, or it would have been coming up on the 5th year without her. And it was so healing. And I just remember this feeling wash over me of like, you know, when someone dies, like everyone's like, oh, they're always with you. They're always with you, trying to like comfort you. And I just like felt those 5 years. I was like, I just don't feel that. I want to feel it. And I want to believe it's true, but I don't feel my mom. I don't feel connected to her. I just feel like she's gone. And in that moment, it just, there's so much peace washed over me. And it made me realize how important of a job it is to be a medium and to empower people to do that for themselves. Because yeah, it's fun. Like, yeah, it's fun to be psychic. It's fun to, and it's powerful to be psychic and intuitive and use that to like manifest your life. But a really important piece of it is when you, we're all one guaranteed shared human experience is that we're all going to experience loss in our life. And, I think mediumship and having your own connection is a really, really important thing and a really important healing tool. So that was like, oh my gosh, so healing. And then shortly after that, I decided to do a mentorship with her and open up my own psychic abilities. And I remember the first time that I was like, holy shit, I'm connecting was, we were doing a practice circle because it was a group mentorship and I tapped in to one specific person and it just was like rolling through and I just kept going. I was like, I feel this and that. And they're like, I connect, I connect, I connect. And it was just like fucking crazy. And, even to this day, like when I'm just like really in a reading and everything is hitting, especially when I'm doing like live ones on a call, where you get their reaction real time. You're just like, I don't know how this is happening, but all the information is here. I can't really describe how it feels. It's very weird. A lot of times I'll get, especially with mediumship connecting to like a loved one in spirit, I'll get hot. Like my ears will get hot. Sometimes my skin gets red and like blotchy. So I kind of like sweat a little bit, if you want to describe how it feels. But yeah, it's a warm feeling with mediumship. You definitely feel like a lot of love. The connection is really special. And I remember the first time. So the next question I'm just going to roll into, cause it says, what was it like when you realized you're able to connect with your mom psychically? So I'm just going to roll into this cause it's all connected. So I was in the mentorship, I was doing my practice homework of like practice your clairs, do this exercise and then go into meditation and try to connect. So I was doing it all and I was imagining like with my imagination, I was imagining, this is what you can do if you want to try to connect to a loved one in spirit, but visualize them sitting in front of you and bring into detail as much as you can. Oh, my mom's so here right now as I'm like describing this. And see their face and see the color of their hair and see the texture of their skin and remember how they smell and remember the sound of their voice and use every clair, all those clair senses. And I just remember, you know, it's building this image of her in front of me. And then all of a sudden I got the back of my neck just was on fire. It felt like the sun was beating down on me. Like it felt like I was getting a sunburn on the back of my neck and in my ears. And this was at night inside. And so I was so warm. And there was just this moment where I could have snapped my fingers and it was like night and day where like I was building the image in my mind's eye and with all my clairs of my mom. And then boom, she was there. And I felt that heat. And it was like, we both were like, oh my God. And I started like laughing and crying hysterically because the connection was so strong and so powerful. And it truly physically felt like we were hugging each other and rocking and just crying. And I haven't felt her to that amount, that solidly physical since. I think that in spirit, it takes a certain amount of energy and effort for them to be that with us. And I think that was an important moment that my mom made happen with me to sort of validate our connection and really feel each other. And I do feel her strongly. I feel her really strongly right now. I can feel when she swoops in a stronger sense to be like, I'm here. I'm here. You're not feeling good. I'm here. Mommy's here. But it hasn't been as strong as that since. But I remember feeling that heat. Seeing her, we're like laughing. It was like we were really interacting real time. And then my ego sort of came in and was like, you're making this up. And then like the most random thought of like, you know what I miss the most is going to get ice cream with you guys up north. And it was just so random and not something that I would make up. And it was, I just started laughing again because I was like, that wasn't me. Sometimes when you're connecting to your own loved ones, ego comes in stronger because you know them, you know how they talk to you, you know the nicknames they would call you. So you're like, this could be me just imagining this, versus reading for someone else. It's all unfamiliar information. So you have a little bit more confidence passing it along because you're like, yeah, I don't, like, this is just coming through me. I don't know. I don't have attachment to any of this. So that was sort of validated that I was hurt. And then the craziest part was when we sort of pulled our energy back away. I felt like I was going to touch the back of my neck and my hair would be so hot, like as though I was in the sun, and it was completely cool to the touch. And I was like,
wow,
it was so weird. And you know, just to reiterate again, like realizing I could connect to my mom this way, feeling that connection, so incredibly healing. Also sometimes really hard. I'm gonna get emotional, but we always wanted to travel together. So I'm so like, grateful that I get to do this, but it always like really hurt me that like she, you know, we traveled to like Mexico together. We did some trips in the States together, but like our big dream was to like do Europe together, like really see the world. And she never, you know, she's in spirit. She can see the whole freaking world all at once now. She's not worried about it. But it just, I can feel her place as I go and I can feel her presence. But sometimes it makes it hard too because you're just like, you know, why can't she just be here? So it's very healing, but it's sometimes it's like frustrating because it's like, if I can feel you this much, like it's just a little bit more to have you here. Like, why can't, it's like, I don't know if you're like trying to, I don't know, cut sugar out of your diet or something and you're going cold turkey and you have just a little, it's like, it makes you want more. You're like, well, yeah. I had a bite of the cake. I might as well just have the whole piece, but it's not an option. kind of feeling sometimes, but yeah, I'm very grateful. And I think if you're struggling with losing somebody, I think it's good to have a little bit of time before you visit a medium, but it can be really powerful and really healing. I wouldn't recommend doing it right away while it's really fresh, but you don't have to wait 5 years like I did. I would say, you know, wait 6 months, a year, because it's a lot. You need a little time to process. And I would definitely recommend, you know, we have our psychic circle calls inside the Alchemy Collective if it's something that you really want to be able to do for yourself. Or there's tons of other amazing intuitive development mentors out there too. So if grief is a part of your life, like learning to do it for yourself is really incredible and really empowering and very healing and also frustrating at times, but it's better than the alternative that I used to just feel no connection, completely disconnected. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's amazing.
Very grateful. You're doing a really good job.
Thanks. Shout out mom. Shout out Barbie.
Oh. You got me too there. I'm also like, as we wrap up this episode, I'm having the hot flash from Hades himself. And just feeling a little overwhelmed. And I could like burst into tears right now too, for like other reasons, but it's hard. I mean, we all walk down this spiritual path because we want to know that there's more. We want to know that it's not just we're here and then we're gone. And in our hearts, we know that it's more than that. And we can't prove it, but we know, right? And I think for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, you know, we as a collective human, ooh, can't breathe, group most of us sort of know that and feel that. And so, yeah, it is such a tease when we like can feel the people. Cause we're like, oh, there you are. Except you're not, you know, like it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, but there's so much, we can do to honor our loved ones, and you're doing it. You're doing it. I mean, my gosh, I feel like she's probably shuffling around to everybody she knows. Look where Sadie is. Look what Sadie's doing. I could feel that.
Oh, boy.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
We're going to go cry now.
Go listen to us cry more on last week's episode.
Ooh, thank you for all of your amazing questions. If you loved the Q&A episode, let us know. We'll do more of these. They're definitely fun for us to get to know, like, what kind of questions are on your mind. And you can always send us a DM with, like, episode ideas. A lot of our episodes are either direct suggestions or we're like, we've been getting a lot of questions on this topic lately. Let's do an episode. So we love getting to interact with you and chat with you in the DMs. Make sure you sign up for our free Zoom. That's going to be at the end of this month in the show notes, and join us inside the Alchemy Collective. If you're looking to go deeper, we're a bunch of witches who are just on a mission to like live, to fully live, to find purpose and fulfillment and create magical lives. And we'd love to welcome you into the collective. So thank you. Follow us on social media. It's the same on Instagram and TikTok at Goddess Hangs. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper, and we will see you last week. No, we'll see you next week with lots of Italy stories.
Yes, it'll be a full catch-up episode, probably. Bye.
We'll see you then.